Not.
Udvigna.
Agitated.
Jitaha.
Whose consciousness?
Vyasaneshu.
In dangerous conditions.
Nisbraha.
Without desire.
Shruteshu.
In things heard of.
Especially elevation to heavenly planets.
Because of pious activities.
Drishteshu.
As well as in temporary things seen.
Guneshu.
The objects of sense gratification.
Under the modes of material nature.
Avastutrik,
seen as if insubstantial.
Danta,
controlling.
Indriya,
the senses.
Prana,
the living force.
Sharira,
the body.
Dihi,
and intelligence.
Sada,
always.
Prashanta,
quieted.
Kamaha,
whose material desires.
Rahita,
completely devoid of.
Asuraha,
demoniac nature.
Asuraha,
although born in a demoniac family. Translation. Although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he himself was not an asura, but a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Unlike the other asuras, he was never envious of Vaishnavas. He was not agitated when put into danger, and he was neither directly nor indirectly interested in the fruitive activities described in the Vedas. Indeed, he considered everything material to be useless, and therefore he was completely devoid of material desires. He always controlled his senses in life, air, and being of steady intelligence and determination. He subdued all lusty desires. So you can repeat.
Although Prahlad Maharaj
was born in a family of asuras,
he himself was not an asura,
but a great devotee of Lord Vishnu.
Unlike the other asuras,
he was never envious of Vaishnavas.
He was not agitated
when put into danger.
And he was neither directly nor indirectly interested
in the fruitive activities
described in the Vedas.
Indeed, he considered everything material
to be useless,
and therefore he was completely devoid
of material desires.
He always controlled his senses and life air,
being of steady intelligence and determination.
He subdued all lusty desires.
So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
From this verse, we discover that a man is not qualified or disqualified simply by birth. Prahlad Maharaj was an asura by birth, yet he possessed all the qualities of a perfect brahmana. Ramanya shilasampanaha. Anyone can become a fully qualified brahman under the direction of a spiritual master. Prahlad Maharaj provided a vivid example of how to think of the spiritual master and accept his directions calmly.
So, no vigna chitto vyasaneshu nishriya Shruteshu Dristeshu Guneshva Vastu Drit Dantendriya Prana Shariradi Sada Prashanta Kamo Rahita Suro Sudaha.
So Om Gnati Vidandasha Gnanjana Shlakaya Chakshur Minitam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha.
So even Indra, the great demigod, was thinking that anyone who was born in a demon family must be a demon. And as a result of that thought process, he wanted to kill Prahlad Maharaj. Of course, he wanted to wait until Prahlad Maharaj came out of his mother's womb, and then he was ready to kill him. Of course, fortunately, Narada Muni interceded, and he explained to King Indra, Lord Indra, that there was a great devotee in the womb of Kayadu, who was Prahlad Maharaj's mother. And even though he was the son of Hiranyakashipu, and sometimes there's the statement, the apple does not fall far from the tree, or blood is thicker than water. I mean, there's many different statements like that. So even though he was the son of Hiranyakashipu, he was a great devotee. Narada Muni had that spiritual vision, of course, Trikalagya, which means understanding past, present, and future. And then he took Prahlad Maharaj to his ashram at Nardakund, which is right near, or practically next to Govardhan. And then he instructed Kayadu about devotional service. Of course, Kayadu pretty much forgot everything. Although she was benefited, but she actually forgot everything almost. Because when she got back with Hiranyakashipu, she was enamored again. That also teaches us a good lesson, that when we become enamored by this society, friendship, and love, particularly romantic love, then we actually forget everything about our spiritual lives. It's a very interesting phenomena. Of course, even the scientists, the mundane material scientists, have analyzed through their scans of brains, and they've come to the conclusion that when one is in love, it's the same as snorting cocaine. Of course, sugar has a similar effect too. So, sugar, falling in love. So, anyway, so she actually practically forgot everything that she had heard from Narada Muni, whereas Prahlad Maharaj, he remembered everything that he heard from Narada Muni, and he was able to convey those teachings to his classmates. So, really, that's the point. What is it? Sarusanga, 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 sarvashashakoi, lavamatra, sarusanga, sarva, siddhi hoi. That just by a little bit of association with a Vaishnava, all perfection is reached, and actually one changes one's whole consciousness. And just like many of us have experienced that by association with His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And another example, Shastric example of that, is the story of Narada Muni himself. Narada Muni was born into a very low-class family. In fact, it wasn't even a family, because family usually means mother, father. And in the Vedic tradition, family means an extended family, you know, mother-in-law, not the man's mother-in-law, the woman's mother-in-law. Because if there's the... Anyway, I won't describe that. So, extended family, and nowadays, family has been sort of like redefined, you know, due to other politically correct motives in society. They've redefined the whole family structure. And I'm not going to describe what that means to redefine. I think you can use your imagination. So, Narada Muni, he didn't actually have a family. He just had a mother. And his mother was a maidservant. And basically, with maidservants, many times, you don't really even know who the father is. I mean, there's that famous story in the Vedic literatures
of such a such a comrade. So the truth teller, that's a famous story, and I'll tell that story as part of the Narada Muni story, that young man, his mother was basically a prostitute. And having a mother as a prostitute means basically you probably don't know who your father is. Because in those days, they didn't really have genetic testing. Nowadays, you can actually take a swab from your cheek and send it in, you know, through the mail, and not only find out, maybe not who your father was, but who your ancestors were. You can do all your roots and find out that you came from Antarctica and you were one of the penguins before. Anyway, you can find out so many things. But in those days, anyway, so this young man could not find out who his father was. So, but he had brahminical tendencies. And what he did is he went to his guru, or the guru, and he said, "Gurudev, can you initiate me as a Brahmin?" And the guru said, "First of all, I have to ascertain what your family history is. Who is your father?" And he said, "Well, let me ask my mother." So he went to ask his mother. He said, "Mataji, who is my father?" And Mataji said, "I don't know. Could have been him, or him. And so he went back to his guru, and the guru said, "Well, did you find out who your father was?" And he said, "Yes, my mother said it could have been him. And actually, she doesn't know. And the guru said, "You are a Brahmin because you're telling the truth. That's the real point." So, you know, Brahmin is known by quality. So anyway, getting back to the story of Narada Muni. Narada Muni probably didn't know who his father was. His mother was a maidservant. And she was his only source of protection. You know, a little kid, you know, 5 years old. So what happens is the sages, they were observing Chaturmasya. Chaturmasya means the 4 months of the rainy season where the sages stay in one place. Because it's rainy, it's the monsoon season in India, as we've experienced in Mayapur. You know, you get really these real big floods, so you really can't move around a lot. And so, during the rainy season, his mother was taking care of the sages. And taking care of the sages, he also had the opportunity to take care of the sages and eat the remnants of the sages with their permission. Prabhupada says, in that context, one could eat the remnants either with or without the permission. It has the same effect. And by doing that, he became imbued with great spiritual potency. And also, it's described he took initiation, too. Young kid, you know, 5 years old, took initiation. And so then after that time, the sages went on their way. And what happened to him was, from a material perspective, very unfortunate. Just like Prahlad Maharaj's story, you know, from a material perspective, having your father do all these things is not very loving. So what happened is his mother died. A snake bit his mother, and his mother died, and he was just left alone. He was an orphan. You know, nowadays, if you say someone's an orphan, that's like, wow, poor kid. And you send money to India to take care of the orphans, and, you know, Food for Life has a program to take care of the orphans. And so he was wandering, and because he had become initiated and imbued with spiritual potency, he actually saw Lord Vishnu once. And Lord Vishnu said, "This is the last time you're going to see me in this lifetime. So you better hanker for this." I'm paraphrasing what Lord Vishnu said. And then in the next life, he took birth like the thunder and the lightning as the son of Lord Brahma. And took on a spiritual body whereby he could travel to all the different universes. So here was a person from a low-class background. By the association, he became high-class. So Prahlad Maharaj, it's a similar thing. Of course, even before that birth, there's some stories in the Puranas how he was an exalted person. In any case, I'm not going to tell the story about, anyway, there's one story the devotees like to tell, that he fasted by accident because he was upset with his girlfriend in the past life. I don't know if that's a bona fide story. There's so many stories people pull from the Puranas that we are not sure of, because most of the Puranas have been corrupted through the ages because they haven't been passed down in disciplic succession. So the stories we want to tell are stories that come down in disciplic succession. Very important, because without being connected in disciplic succession, your stories are not bona fide, nor are your mantras bona fide. Sampradaya vinaya mantras te nishpalamataha. So it's important to receive everything in disciplic succession and not think you know more than Srila Prabhupada or more than your guru, whatever. Very important principle. So anyway, getting back to the point, is that Prahlad Maharaj, because of the nurture, he actually became Krishna conscious. And we mentioned many times before, we have mentioned that there's two things that determine someone's consciousness or stature, is nature and nurture. Nature is what you're born with. And nurture is what happens afterwards. You know, just like you talk about nurturing a little baby. Well, we are being nurtured all the time. Of course, not right now by our mothers, but we are being nurtured by our association with the modes of nature. Karanam guna sangasya sadasad jamajonishu. That's the cause of our consciousness. Or we're being nurtured by good association, association with transcendental sound vibrations. So in any case, we're always being influenced because we're tiny, we are weak, as they say in Alcoholics Anonymous. We are weak. We have to go to a higher power. So we have to choose whether that higher power is Krishna, Krishna Katha, pure devotees, or that higher power is Maya, the modes of nature. So we can actually choose which one to put ourselves under. So if we choose to take good association, and that is actually our choice, then we can achieve the highest position regardless of our birth or regardless of whatever nature that we have. Of course, at the same time, we have to be very careful to keep that good association, because that nature that we were born with can actually pull us down. And of course, that's the famous point that Prabhupada made when he told that story, Punar Mushika Bhava, you know, again become a hippie. You know, of course, Mushika means mouse. And I'm not going to tell that story because that would take the rest of the class time. I had many more points I wanted to make. So we have to be extremely careful, because we see many devotees, they take up Krishna consciousness very, very enthusiastically, and then they become complacent, or what we say, loose, and they start to have some other association and do things, you know, whether we're talking about movies or friendships or whatever, and that those modes of nature drag them away eventually from Krishna consciousness. So, of course, there's many stories of devotees who were in a very despicable position before, then they became great devotees. I mean, some of the stories that are told in the Vedic literatures, for example, the story of Valmiki Muni, who is practically much more despicable than I think most of us before he became Valmiki Muni. He's Ratnakara. And he was doing things, not only eating meat, taking intoxication, illicit sex, you know, that was nothing compared to what he was doing. He was killing people, raping people, stealing, everything like that. And he used to remain on the path. And whoever passed by, he would just like attack them, like dacoitry, gundari. That's an English combination with Hindi. But gunda, he was a gunda. So he would attack people, and finally got stopped, or he stopped the Sapta Rishis, and the Sapta Rishis encouraged him to chant Mara. And the way they encouraged him is they actually told him about karma. You know, sometimes when we're preaching, we have to tell people about some basic things. You know, if we simply tell them about Radha and Krishna, it's just like, they'll just engage in more lusty affairs. if you go out. I mean, that's the problem with the Sahajas. They try to just like tell everybody about Radha Krishna. You know, you have these Bhagavad Saptahas where they talk primarily on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about the Rasa Leela and other things like that. And it just encourages people to engage in lust. You know, we had one person who joined the movement. He and his wife joined the movement, and, you know, they had heard about the Rasa Leela before. And he gave his wife the name Radha, and he had the name Krishna. So they came to the movement. You say, well, hello, who are you? I'm Radha. Who are you? I'm Krishna. And this is our rasa dance. You know, anyway, they didn't say that, but they were Radha and Krishna. So that's why we have to convey information that's appropriate to people to help them advance in devotional service. And so in the case of Valmiki, who was previously Ratnagara, the Saptarishis just showed him what his karma would be. And therefore, he enthusiastically took up chanting Mara Mara, which became Rama Rama. And of course, many other examples. You have the prostitute in Haridas Thakur. You have Mugrari, the hunter, who was also shown his future karma. And like Prabhupada said, that I have created your good fortune before you came to the movement. You had no good fortune. You know, many of us were so proud, we just say, well, I came to the movement because I was a great yogi before I joined. Or I hear this from devotees sometimes, this excessive pride. Even if it was true that, you know, you were just like fallen down from the spiritual world just to be cut to serve Prabhupada in this lifetime. Even if it was true, you wouldn't say that. Actually, if it was true specifically, you would take a very humble position. You read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's poems like Sharanagati. I mean, he takes a very humble position. So that's the quality of a pure devotee. So, actually, it was Prabhupada who made our good fortune. And so, similarly, you had the Saptarishis who made the good fortune of Valmiki, and Narada Muni, who gave the good fortune to Mugrari, the hunter. And so that's really what we're talking about. And if one gets that good fortune and remains on the fortunate position, then one can even become a guru. You know, sometimes people criticize ISKCON gurus. In fact, there are some Goswamis, that means people who come from the Goswami family who are in charge of different temples in India, who come to America and try to convince us innocent, naive Americans that if we had initiation from a guru who was from not a Brahminical family, or what to speak of Western family, Malecha family, then the guru is not bona fide. Actually, you have to take initiation from someone coming from Goswami. I mean, that's also that the Nityananda Vamsa stuff and everything that Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur preached so strongly against. But still, Westerners are so damn naive sometimes. They accept anything. Anything is yoga. Just like yesterday, we saw a funny video of how, portrayal of Mahatma Gandhi coming into a modern yoga class. And, you know, it's actually funny. And some yogini said, you know, I'm doing a fast. And Mahatma Gandhi says, is that for political purposes or for, you know, spiritual purposes? And no, because it's the time to go to the beach, basically. So this is the concept of modern yoga. It's actually quite a funny video. I recommend it highly for everybody. So anyway, so you have people preaching like that, and even some people in ISKCON, I mean, there was even one sannyasi in ISKCON, still in ISKCON. He would give class in his native language, and he would say in his native language, even while he had sannyasis, Western sannyasis next to him, he said, you know, basically saying, you know, because I was born in a Brahminical family, therefore, you know, I'm real. But these people are just like evidences of Prabhupada's mercy. In other words, mercy cases. That's how he portrayed it. And, you know, those of us who understood his language, I'm not going to tell you his language, it wasn't Hindi, really understood what he was saying. So, and we gave a little offended, which is all right. So if one becomes Krishna conscious, it doesn't matter what the family is. And there's this famous verse from the Padma Purana that illustrates this fact. Prabhupada quotes it in the Bhagavad Gita. Sat karma nipano vipro mantra tantra visharada avaishnava guror nashat vaishnava swapacho guror, which is interesting. That even if a Vaishnava comes from a family swapacho, that means like pig eater or something like that. And, you know, I think there are many of us who ate bacon before we joined the Hare Krishna movement. You know, bacon is, you hate to tell you, that's part of pigs, whether you like it or not. In some places, people even eat spam, which is canned pig. Spam, you heard of it? No? In the islands in the Pacific, it's one of the, in Hawaii, it's actually one of the main foods. That's why people blow up. So even if one comes from the family of pig eaters, if he knows Krishna, then he can be accepted as a guru. Whereas someone who was born in a Brahminical family, even if he knows the mantras or the tantras, tantra doesn't mean something bad. It basically means something that connects you. You know, there's left-handed tantra, right-handed tantra. I'm not going to get into that. So even if he's very expert in all these different things, if he's not a Vaishnava, he can never be accepted as a guru. That's from the Padma Purana. And Lord Chaitanya was fond of quoting that. Srila Prabhupada quoted a numerous times. And of course, there's also that other verse that, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kiva vipra kiva nyasi shudha keda nai, ye krishna tatva veta, se guru hoi. That if, whatever one's background, if one knows the science of Krishna, and I'm going to describe what the science of Krishna is, se guru hoi, then he can be understood to be a guru. You know, whether we're talking about Vartma Pradarshika guru, Siksha guru, Diksha guru, whatever. Guru means one who guides you with Krishna consciousness. Guru also means heaven. So, if one knows the science of Krishna, what does it mean? So, this is really the point, to know the science of Krishna. That means sambandha abhideya prayojana. I mean, sometimes we find people who are initiated, but the guru was never instructing them in the science of Krishna. I mean, what's the basic science of Krishna? Of course, basically, you're not Draupadi. I mean, I understand that. But that's also preliminary stuff. When we're talking about the science of Krishna, it means how to achieve Krishna, too. Not just sambandha gyan. You're not Draupadi, Krishna is the Supreme Prince. That's pretty easy. Material world is there. Krishna created the material world. There's time, there's karma, there's the living entity, there's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, etc. The topics of the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, that's sambandha gyan. But even more important, after, of course, I can't say more important, but equally important, because sambandha gyan is actually the foundation, then there's abhideya. I mean, how to chant. Just like Srila Prabhupada was very attentive to this abhideya. Like, sometimes people say, well, you don't have to chant 16 rounds, or you can chant any way you want. But it's not true, because abhideya means very strict rules and regulations, sankhya purvaka. Just like it's sankhya in this particular case, means counting. And actually, we talk about sankhya yoga, means to count the different material elements. But sankhya purvaka, nama. That's described about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. That's from the prayer of Srinivasacharya that some of you may have heard. They counted their rounds. You understand? Beads. Beads. Of course, nowadays, clickers. But some people get clickers and they put a Tulsi bead on their clicker. Are you chanting on Tulsi beads? Oh, yeah. Click, 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 click. And then devotees have designed these electronic clickers now. They come from China. You know, you can buy them at your Krishna culture online. So, I mean, the Goswamis of Vrindavan, and then Srila Prabhupada gave us a way of counting. That's part of abhideya. making sure, you know, counting, chanting on beads, all these things are very specific, but sometimes you find people don't give these instructions. And that's incomplete. Because knowing the science of Krishna means to know that too. You know, how to apply the chanting. You know, Sankhya Purva Ganama Gana Nativi. Right? Anyone's heard that poem before? No. And then all the other aspects, you know, deity worship. I mean, see, Prabhupada has actually given us like a complete package. That's how one reason we know that he's actually a bona fide guru is not just the Sambandhagyan, but the complete Abhideya. Whoops. Still got another minute. Chupado. That's an insult. That means shut up. Anyway. So Prabhupada has given us the complete package of Abhideya. I mean, it's really amazing. You know, deity worship, book distribution, you know, preaching Krishna consciousness, Harinam, morning program, worship the spiritual master. Wow! So this is what a bona fide guru does. And then, of course, Prayojana. Prabhupada has also given us Prayojana. You read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a lot of details about Prayojana. You read Prabhupada's books, everything is there. So anyway, so that's what it means to know and where to teach the science of Krishna. Ye Krishna Tattva Veta, Se Guru Hoy. So we have about 15 seconds left. Any questions or comments? We cover a lot of topics in class. Ye Krishna Tattva Veta, Se Guru Hoy. No questions? Okay. I guess that's it. Actually, it's time to greet the deities. Blow the conch shell. All glories to His divine grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.